look at God's Word again. And, you know, I love that promise in the book of Isaiah where the Lord says that my word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. I believe every time we use God's word and we hear it, or even if we're reading it, I believe he does something in our life. It might be real minute. We might not recognize it. And I believe it has, well, think of it this way. The same sun that melts the wax, hardens the clay. If we are in a rebellious mood, he says his word will do something. If we're in a rebellious mood against him, and when we hear it, we're probably hardened.
Amen.
The Bible speaks strong of hard hearts, doesn't it? And I think that you think of old Pharaoh. Many times it says the Lord hardened his heart, but three or four times in there it says that Pharaoh hardened his own heart.
Amen.
And I think if old Pharaoh hadn't hardened his heart, the Lord wouldn't harden. Like man years ago, Bill Hall, evangelist Bill Hall, he stayed with his grandma. His grandma told him to go out and get a load of stove wood and bring in. He said he didn't want to get stove wood. She said, now I tell you, you better go out and get that stove wood and bring it in. No, I don't want to get stove wood. She kept on asking him. He thought he'd throw a fit, you know. So he went, wah, wah, walked over to the wall and bam, bam, bam. He said, my grandma got a hold of him and she really bammed it against the wall. So that's the way God hardened Pharaoh's heart, I believe. He was hard against the Lord, so the Lord clamped down on him. But the Lord used him, and in a way, he did let the people go. Well, I'd like to speak this evening on that spiritual rock. That spiritual rock. Rock in the Scripture, it's used a whole lot. And it's used in reference to the Lord as being the rock. In Exodus 17:6, it says these words, Exodus 17:6. The Lord is speaking to Moses. He says, behold, I will stand before Horeb, or stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord God Almighty, we thank you for another day. We thank you for this wonderful Lord's Day. And we just pray, God, for these prayer requests that's been uttered. And you know the needs of each heart, of each life, of each body. And Lord, might we truly remind ourselves, as the psalmist said, that you've made us and not we ourselves. And Lord, thou art in charge, and help us to commit our ways to you, and you'd heal the sick and save the lost. And Lord, edify the saints. And Lord, move upon us now, and I pray, God, and praise you for your word, that it will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish that which thou dost please. Might our hearts be receptive to where, by the grace of God, you might accomplish much, and we'll praise you, Lord, and just use these, my lips, Lord, of clay that thou hast just opened my heart, and you'd speak to them and through me for your glory and for our need. Thank you for the privilege of being in this church. Thank you for these dear people that's been so good to us. And Lord, now bless our pastor while he's away. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The people didn't have water to drink. Of course, they were murmuring and turning against the Lord. And the Lord told Moses to smite the rock, and that water would come out. And it says, and Moses did so. Moses did so. The rock in the scripture has the meaning, well, of a boulder, and also illustrates of refuge, of strength. And we can see how it could be applied so strongly to the Lord. I mean, he's solid. He's solid. And here we see the rock smitten. And like I mentioned this morning when we were looking in the book of Hebrews, there, chapter 11, about the Abraham, whenever he was going to slay his own son, and he had faith to believe God was going to raise him up and that God had received him in a figure. Well, this is another figure here, so to speak. This is another illustration that points to something else, the smiting of the rock. Now, Paul said about Moses and those in the wilderness, Paul said about them in 1 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4, he said, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock, and that rock was Christ. Said Moses drank of Christ. Amen. You know, Jesus is a way of salvation, the only way. Even those in the Old Testament, I think they look forward to Jesus coming or the Lord some kind of way taking care of their sins, and they trusted him. And we look back to Jesus having come. Amen. And died on the old rugged cross for us. And he says, I think we'll see Abraham and those Old Testament saints when we get to glory. I think we'll see the apostles at all, because it says about Abraham there in Hebrews chapter 11 that he was looking for a city that had foundations whose builder and maker was God.
Amen.
So I'm looking for the city, and I believe it's the same one. I believe it's the same one Abraham looked for. It's something what the Lord has for us in heaven's glory. So the rock was smitten here, and this was a picture of Christ being smitten for our sins. In let's see, in Psalm 78, verse 16, says, he brought streams also out of the rock, and cause waters to run down like rivers. That's something, you know, when I used to drive, I used to work for the highway department when I was 15, 16 years old. And Brother Paul, don't you listen to this, but I drove a tractor and trailer, and I was 16 years old, hauling heavy equipment for the highway department. But it was a place north of Richmond where water came out of the rock. Whew, I would go out of my way. I would have a bulldozer or one of those northwest shovels on the low boy, and I'd even go out of my way to go by that water coming out. Oh man, was that a good drink. Water out of the rock. I didn't think of anything then. I was just a kid. I hadn't been saved. But I thought back on that a lot. Of this water coming out of the rock. And God gave them water to drink. He brought streams also out of the rock. It caused water to run down like rivers. You know, when while I'm in Psalm 78, I'd like to refer to verse 20. It says, behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? He gives water out of the rock. Can he give bread also? Jesus said in John 6:51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Oh, living bread given for the life of the world. And he told the woman at the well, whosoever therefore drinketh of the water that I shall give them shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give them shall be in them a well of water springing up into everlasting life.
Amen.
Bread of life, water of life. Jesus Christ, when he was smitten. People don't know, I guess, don't know what life is. Don't know what life is. And think about that when somebody dies. Their physical life is gone. It's gone. This old boy, old hippie boy, had his buddies and everything. And they were doping it up. And he told his family. He said, when I die, I want to be buried in my Cadillac. I want to be buried in my Cadillac. Well, the old boy died not long after. They buried him in his Cadillac. You know, in certain places you can be buried most any way you want to be. They got a crane, one of those old Cadillacs, long ones. They got a crane and put the chains around the frame on the back and on the front and run it up and hooked it onto the big hook on the crane. They picked up this old big Cadillac. They set him right up behind the wheel. There he was, sitting right behind the wheel. Hands on the steering wheel, dead as a doornail. And here it's the old crane just swinging back and forth. And got it over the hold. His buddies were steadying it, you know, and got it over the hold and started letting it down in. And one of his hippie friends over here standing, leaning against the fence, he said, man, that's living. People don't know what life is. They don't know what life is. Had no physical life. Now we are eternal beings. So we either have, when we die, we have either eternal life or eternal death.
Amen.
And you're just dying forever with eternal death. Or, if you trust Jesus, you're living forever.
Amen.
I mean, it's hard to give up loved ones. I thought about when we were singing there, the old rugged cross, and where it says when we lay our burdens down, or not burdens, but what is it in the course? I can't think what it is. Stanley's singing it in his mind to try to. But it's not burdens, but it's laying something down.
Trophies.
I started to say trophies, and I wasn't sure. Is it or not? I ought to know that one. But friend of mine, some of y'all probably knew him, Charles Mason, lived in Buena Vista, run a little shop. There, worked on televisions and different electronic things, what was electronic back then. When I came to Buena Vista, he started coming to the church. He's already trusted the Lord, and God used him. I didn't know anybody when I came to Buena Vista. You know, I didn't know the first soul in this area when I came to start a church. I didn't know anybody. Lord said, go to Buena Vista. And I could not get around it. I had to come. But anyway, I met Charles after here a while. But when he died in the hospital, we were singing the Old Rugged Cross, his family and myself. And when we got to that part to lay the trophies down, he went, and that was it. That was it. But I tell you, we all cried, but I felt the power of God so strong. Amen. In that room that time. And it's just wonderful that when we pass away from this life, that we can go to glory. Jesus was smitten. And this was a picture of his smiting there. And then the rock was spoken to in Numbers, over in Numbers. Maybe this will keep you awake if I run you through the Bible. Now, I hope it'll be a little bit interesting. God's Word is always interesting to me. But in Numbers chapter 20, let's read verse 7. Numbers 20, verse 7 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock." So again, another situation here, another time. He told Moses to speak to the rock. Speak to the rock. The rock spoken to. Well, didn't tell him to hit it. He told him to take the rod with him. But just speak to the rock. And so he did it. And the Lord says, "And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation of the beasts drink." In other words, he took the rock, or the rod, and went to the rock, as the Lord said, and he was supposed to speak to the rock. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he had commanded him. He took the rod. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And beloved, Moses lost it. And he said unto them, "Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock. And the water came out abundantly. And the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, "Because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them." You won't bring them into the land. You smote the rock when you're supposed to speak to it. Why? Why was the Lord so particular? Hebrews 9:28. "So Christ was once offered for the sins of many. And unto them that look to him." And it goes on that they would have the salvation. He wasn't to be smitten again. He was smitten once. And he was our rock. "And unto them that look to him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." He wasn't to be smitten anymore. And if we had looked to him, Moses says, "Hear now, ye rebels." Well, they were rebels. Must we fetch you water out of the Moses, you couldn't have done it. You'd have wanted to without the Lord. But the Lord was merciful. He gave them water to drink anytime. Anyway, but he told Moses, you won't bring this congregation into the land that I've given them. And in Deuteronomy, Moses is talking about them going over into the promised land. His time was about up. And Moses died, you know, there at the end of the book of Deuteronomy. And no man knew where Moses was buried. It was three there at, well, four, count Moses, at Moses' funeral. The Lord, the archangel, and Moses. The Lord, Moses, and the archangel, I guess it was just three. And no man, it says, knew Moses' grave unto this day, there in the last chapter of Deuteronomy. No man knew where he was buried, that great man. Nobody came to his funeral. And wouldn't know the archangels there, but in the book of Jude, it says when the devil was there, I knew it was four, the devil was there. That's what the devil wants me to forget, to blame him. Because in the book of Jude, it says that the devil disputed over the body of Moses. The devil disputed over the body of Moses. And the archangel said, the Lord rebuke thee. Now, I don't know about all of this, about, you know, us rebuking the devil. The archangel wouldn't do it. He said, the Lord rebuke you. I believe that's what we ought to say. The Lord rebuke you, devil, rather than I rebuke you. Without the Lord, I don't have any power against him. The devil, you don't either. But anyway, Moses, there, got off on Moses' death there. And at the beginning of Deuteronomy, he's reiterating all that happened in the book of Exodus and Leviticus, some of that in Leviticus and Numbers here. He's telling him, and he said that he says, I ask the Lord. There in Deuteronomy, the first few chapters, four maybe. He said, I ask the Lord to let me go over into the land of Israel. I ask the Lord to let me go. The Lord told him, says, speak no more to me of that matter or of this matter. Speak no more to me of this matter. In other words, don't ask me again. He said, I told you wasn't going. So he couldn't lead. See, we do the wrong thing a lot of times, but we need to be careful. We don't lose our salvation, but we can lose a whole lot. We can lose a whole lot of rewards, of things, if we do the wrong thing, even though we're saved. We need to seek to walk straight and narrow. And Moses should have spoke to the rock. Now, notice he took a rod. And Aaron would take the rod. I think it's the same rod. And I think it's the same rod that Moses threw down before Pharaoh there, and it turned into a snake. I believe same rod. I don't think you'll find where Moses uses the rod anymore after this. Rod of God. The rod was to be spoken to. Psalm 61, thinking of the rock was to be spoken to, not smitten again with the rod. Think of Psalm 61 where the psalmist says, hear, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. He's talking about the Lord. Because we'll go on here. The rock smitten, the rock spoken to, the rock of salvation. In Deuteronomy 32, it speaks of them that how that they denied their rock of salvation. Numbers, Deuteronomy, might as well look at that, I reckon. I'll try not to take too much time. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 15 said, "But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation." Jeshurun being a poetical name for Jerusalem, he waxed fat. And in other words, had everything he needed, covered with fatness. But he forsook God and he lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. But the Lord is the rock of our salvation. In Psalm 62, I'll read you a verse or two, a few verses out of there. Psalm 62, verse 2, he says, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." And then skip on down to verse 6. And he says, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved." In verse 2, he says, "I shall not be greatly moved." You know, that indicates to me he could be moved a little bit. But then he had more assurance, more confidence down in verse 6. He said, "I shall not be moved." And praise God if we're on the rock. He's the rock of our salvation. The Lord is. And they drank of that spiritual rock, and that rock that followed them was Christ. And there's no rock in comparison. There's no rock in comparison. Still here or there, I done turned from it, but in Deuteronomy 32, 31, he says, "And their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being the judges." Now, what does that mean? Their rock is not as our rock. And even our enemies knows the difference. Knows that it's no comparison to our rock, to what we're trusting in and what they're trusting in. Their rock is not as our rock. They don't have what we have. Jesus, the rock of salvation. Amen. There's no comparison. He's a different rock. I worked for Lone Jack Limestone for 10 years since being in Buena Vista, located there at Glasgow. And a geologist was out there, stood in the rocks. See, we were crushing them, making not gravel, but making crushed stone out of them for the highway department, anybody that wanted for the driveways or whatever. Gravel is what you get out the creek, already small rock. Crushed stone is what goes through the crushers. And so we had crushed stone, and anyway, this geologist was there, and he picked up a rock right outside the office there and was looking at it. And he called one of the men over that works there and he showed it to him. He says, "Look there, you see that? What is that?" He looked at it and he said, "It's rock." "Well, but no, that has limestone in it. That has what else? Phosphate? I don't know what else." He named a whole lot of things that he could see in that rock. But their rock is not as our rock. You can compare the rocks. And they don't have what we got.
Amen.
The rock of salvation. No rock in comparison. Isaiah 40:18 says, "To whom they will liken God." To whom then rather will ye liken God? Or what likeness will you compare him unto him? What you going to compare God to? You know, we could go to, and we won't, but we could go to Psalms 105. Some know it's Psalms 115 and then Psalms 135, where it talks about idols. Having eyes, they see not. Having ears, they hear not. Having mouths, they speak not. Having hands, they do not. Having feet, they walk not. And so on. And this, a lot of these idols was made out of rock, out of stone, a lot of them wood. But their rock is not as our rock, the rock of salvation. And it's a rock foundation. You know, the Lord said there in Psalm, or in Matthew 7, 24 and 25, he says therefore he that buildeth his house upon a rock, he says, I will liken him unto a wise man, or he that heareth these words of mine, he said, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. He says, and the floods came, and the rains descended, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, because it was founded upon a rock. Upon a rock. And the stability of the Lord found. For the foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11. Other foundation can no man lay. There's not another one that we can build on and have stability. We're like the one that built his house, if it went on in Matthew chapter 7, that built his house upon the sand. Whenever the floods came and the rain descended and the winds blew and beat upon it, fell. And it says, and great was the fall of it, because built upon sand. Didn't have a foundation. That's a good comparison of those building upon religion. Like this morning, leaving the lamb out. Something, isn't it? He's the lamb, but he's the rock. the rock foundation. Jesus told Peter, he says, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. And he tells him there in Matthew 16:18, and upon this rock shall I build my church. That's the foundation. We've got to be on Christ. Amen. The church can do a lot of different things, but you better be on Christ. And whatever you do, seek to have him as your foundation. Don't leave him out. And he's being left out today. Don't leave him out of your life. Don't leave him out of your decisions that you have to make. Ask him to lead you and guide you.